it seems shocking. You'd say, how could somebody find it hard to love God? But they do. I think possibly many find it hard to love God because they don't quite understand God. They have a false concept or a false understanding of who God is. No doubt some think of God as an absentee God, like an absentee father. I mean, a child whose father is no longer in the picture, who has left, who certainly started the family, certainly began this thing that they call the home, and then left, and the dad's no longer there, and the children look and they wonder, well, why should I love my father? He's not even around. He's not even in the picture. Well, let me remind you this morning that God, our Heavenly Father, is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's not an absentee God. He did not start this thing and just let it go. He's actively, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God knows every step you take. He knows every hair that falls off your head. And I've been keeping him real busy. But he knows it all. God knows it all. And he's not an absentee God. No doubt there are some who think of him as a abusive God, one who is stern and strict, ready to bust the offender at the first sign of an offense. They look at God as this mean ogre that's up in heaven with his hammer just waiting to strike somebody as soon as they step out of line. They've got this image in their mind of an abusive God. But let me remind you this morning that God said, suffer the little children to come unto me. He called even the little child to come unto him. Let me remind you this morning that the mercies of God are renewed every morning. God is a merciful God, a God of compassion, a God of love. I think sometimes our false concepts of God would cause us not to love him like we should. No doubt, some think of God as a good God, as a loving God. Pastor Caleb, I agree with you, what you're saying. That makes sense, absolutely. But they think of God as somebody too important, too busy, too great to be concerned with their life. Maybe you're here this morning and you think about God and you understand that he's a God of love and that he cares for his own and that the steps of a good man are ordered by him and you understand that, but in your heart of hearts you think, why would God care for me? Who am I? Let me remind you that the God of heaven loves you. The God of heaven cares for you. Regardless of who you are and where you've been and what you've done, the Bible says that he commended his love toward us. That means showed. He showed his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son, Christ, to die for us. God loves you. Even you who think maybe you're not important enough for God to bother with. You know, this morning our text here is not found written in red. That is, it's not the words of Jesus himself. You see, Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And some may say, well, Pastor Caleb, you're talking to us about Jesus. And that's not, I mean, I know he was God, but, you know, it's not God the Father. Well, you know, Jesus himself, talking to Philip, he said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the words in our text this morning are not written in red, but in fact were written several thousand years before Jesus ever came. But here he speaks of God's love and how he loves God. He tells us why he loves God and why his love for God is so great. And I ask you this morning, do you love God? do you love God? Perhaps this morning you could identify with the psalmist. There are many reasons we should love God, but I would like to give the reasons that are given to us here in this psalm as the purpose and as a motivation for why we should love God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning. I thank you for the privilege that is mine to open the pages of Scripture and impart the truths that are found there. I pray, God, you would move me out of the picture and allow each and every soul here to hear the message from your word, that, God, you would reach down into their heart of hearts and speak to them, encourage them. God, I pray you would open our eyes and help us to see how richly blessed we've been by your ever-flowing grace. God, I pray that no one present today would be able to remain blinded to the generosity that is bestowed on us each and every day. Help us to show our love for you in this dark world. Lord, we ask you to bless now as we look in your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, he says here in verse number one, he says, I love the Lord, and then that word, because. He tells us why. He says, I love the Lord because. And what is the first reason? You tell me. What is it? He heard my voice. So I shortened that and I said, he heard me. He heard me. You know, the psalmist says that there was a time where he was in need and he needed to call out, and he heard my voice. He heard my supplication. Could you, with the psalmist this morning, testify that there's been some time in your life when things weren't going as you thought they should? There's been a day in your life when there was trouble or there was a calamity on the horizon and you saw it. Would you be able to testify this morning and say, God heard my prayer? You could say that in your heart of hearts, there's no other explanation, there's no other way to explain it except that the God of heaven in a miraculous way came on the scene and performed a miracle for you, answered your prayer, provided a need, healed a loved one, helped you through a situation, sustained you in an hour of struggle. Can you testify and say that God heard my supplication? Amen. There has been times, and I hope that this morning we could at least point our heart and our mind's eye back toward heaven for a few minutes and renew the love that we have for an almighty God, because he hears our cry. We opened the service this morning with the song, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Bum, 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 bum. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Call out to God and he will answer thee. Call on God and he will answer thee. We don't actually know who the author of this psalm was, but we know that David had written many of the psalms, and I think about David in his life and the times that he was faced with great calamity. There's days in his life where he needed to call out to God and needed some help, and God answered. He says, God heard his voice. God hath heard my voice. You know, I think there's times that we need to just pray out loud. Now, I know that you can pray in your heart, that you can in your mind without ever uttering a word. I think you can talk to your Heavenly Father. I think it's amazing this morning the young people got up and they sang a song about prayer too. What's the song you guys sang? Did you ever talk to God above? Have you ever talked to God? You can do it in your mind, but I think there's sometimes you just need to call out. Let God hear your voice. I think he enjoys hearing your voice. He enjoys hearing your supplication. There is with this the implication that God did something about it, that God answered. It wasn't just as though, like sometimes I will call my son from the other room and I'll say, son, can you get this stuff out of the living room? And I'll come back a few minutes later and I'll say, son, did you hear me? And he says, yeah. And I'll say, what did I ask you to do? And he'll say, you asked me to get the stuff out of the living room. And I'll say, why are you still sitting here? He says, well, I didn't know you meant right now. Oh, my instruction wasn't specific enough, huh? He heard me but did not respond. There is the implication here that God heard his cry and responded. That God answered. That God answered. God answered him when he didn't know what to do, and God gave him direction. I think of David as he was running from Saul and living in the caves out there. I had the privilege of going into Israel and up into the hills and through the valley of Elah and the space where David was running from Saul. And we saw some of the caves where he would have hid out and some of the brooks where he would have got his water. And I think of him sitting by that brook in a morning just all alone and saying, God, why? God, help me. God gave him direction when he needed it. When he was weak, God gave him strength. When he was crying out in fear, God helped him through. In that moment of crisis, when he needed something right then, when you're driving down the road and you hit a patch of ice, when you're coming to a stop sign, you notice that the guy on the other side just cut across. He didn't stop. And you say, Lord, help me. Have you ever been there? You cry out to God in that moment of fear when you need something right then, and your heart is about to beat out of your chest, and you slam on the brake and the car stops just in time and that other car passes in front of you, and you say, Lord, thank you for letting me see him. Thank you for making the brakes work good enough to get me stopped. Thank you for the response time. Lord, thank you for saving me from that accident right now. In that moment of fear, in that time of trial and test, when you need something right then. You know, David had confidence in his God because God had answered his prayer on previous occasions. Has God answered some prayers for you on previous occasions? You've got some confidence in God because he's come through before. You can hear that confidence in David's voice when he stands before Saul. Do you remember when he was going to go face the giant? He was going to go face Goliath. And he said, no, you can't do this. You're just a boy. And he, a man of war from the time he was a boy. And David said, God hath delivered unto me, delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Surely he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. David said, God did it in the past. He can do it again. God's answered some prayers for you in the past, brethren. Let me encourage you to stand strong on that and realize you've got a God that you ought to have a heart of love for because he's heard your cry, because he's heard your supplication. There was a pastor who had a parrot. And this parrot was very spiritual. All the parrot would say is, let's pray. Let's pray. And the pastor would read him the Bible. And the pastor would read him jokes. And all he could ever get this parrot to say is, let's pray. One day he was in a little hardware store. And in the hardware store there was a parrot there. And the parrot was saying, let's kiss. Let's kiss. And the pastor made friends with the owner of the parrot, and they talked for a while, and he says, hey, maybe if your parrot came over to my house and my parrot and we got together, maybe they'd teach each other some things and they could help each other learn some words. And he says, I noticed your parrot just says, let's kiss. And they said, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's bring him over. So the store clerk brought his parrot over to the pastor's house, and they put the parrots in the room, and they went in the other room to sit down to eat. And they heard the pastor's parrot say, let's pray. And you heard the second parrot say, let's kiss. And then the pastor's parrot said, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. So, God, even sometimes the smallest things in our lives, don't ever think they're too small for God to answer. God loves you. And when you have a need or a burden or just need a friend to talk to, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And our hearts ought to just be full of love for somebody that is that close? Can you testify that God has answered your prayer? You know, James tells us you have not because you ask not. You say, Pastor Caleb, the Lord hasn't answered many prayers for me. Have you been asking? Have you been praying? You got to give him some opportunities. In verse number 2 of our text here, he says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Verse number 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. You see, he was so convinced of this. He says, listen, God's heard my prayer. He's heard my supplication. Every time I've called on him, he's given me an answer. Maybe not the answer I wanted. Maybe it was an answer that I needed. But he's given me an answer, and he's answered so many times. I'm going to call as long as I have breath to breathe, as long as I'm alive on this earth, I'm going to call out to God. I'm going to be a person of prayer. You know, God's not like us. We get a little bit... Can you imagine with me if every morning when you came out of your house, there was a beggar there, and every morning when you came out, he begged for something that he needed? After a few mornings, you might say, okay, here, I'll give you something. Now, please find somebody else, right? And what if he was there every morning, but then not just every morning, what if he started showing up every morning and every night? You'd begin to say, now listen, this is getting a little ridiculous. I'm not the only person in Baltimore. Why don't you go find somebody else to help you? God helps them who help themselves. Amen. Make it spiritual. You'd be wanting to send him on his way. What if he came to you every hour? God says, come. You have not because you ask not. God says, pray. Talk to me. Cry unto me. I want to hear it. And he's not going to get old. He's not going to get irritated. He's not going to get frustrated with you. And for that, brethren, we ought to love him. I love him because he hath heard me. Secondly, in our text here, the psalmist says that he delivered me. Look in verse number 3, and let's read again down through verse number 8. He says, the sorrow of death compassed me. My, how hard the sorrow of death is. One of the hardest things we face. He says, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I look at the psalmist here and I think about him thinking about death, thinking about what happens. And I don't care how arrogant somebody is in this world, and they can look at you and they can say, I don't ever think about it. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever comes what may, you know, just as I'm just, you know, live free and live happy. He can be as boisterous and as arrogant as he wants to be. I know beyond a shadow of doubt in the stillness of the night when he lays alone, he says, what happens after death? What's going to happen to me? Where am I going to be? Is this thing about hell real? Is this thing about heaven real? Is there anything to that at all? And they might want to try and put it out of their mind, but I know that in the heart of man we are searching for something and that can only be filled by Jesus Christ and his love that he showed to us on the cross. And every man, woman, and boy and girl at some point in their life has laid in their bed at night and contemplated what's going to happen to me after death. I see the psalmist here crying out. And in the still of the night, he's saying, death had hold of me. It's as though he could see the end of his days. And he was maybe gripping on his bed for fear that he might himself fall off into an eternity and spend it in that horrible place called hell. I see him there thinking that. He says, the sorrow of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. He called on God. beg to be delivered. Look at verse number 5. He says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Verse number 8, he gives the answer. He says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Can you see that? Can you see the, can you get it in your mind's eye? Him there, alone, the fear of the unknown, of the death that was surely coming, because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and he knows that that is going to come, and he's afraid of it. But then you see him cry out to God, and he says, oh God, deliver me. He calls out to God. And then in verse number 8, he says that God delivered his soul from death. What a miraculous thing. The first prayer that God hears of any sinner is the prayer for deliverance. To be delivered, to be saved from an eternity in hell. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 8, verse number 36, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Many today spend their days, their hours, their time, all their energies seeking to gain a little bit more of this world. To have and to be able to hold on to or call their own a little bit more of this world. But what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The psalmist knew that, and he cried out for deliverance, and he says, you know what? I love God because he heard my cry. I love God because he delivered me. He delivered my soul from death. You know, we love and appreciate the gifted teachers that educate our mind and save us from a life of ignorance. I could go on there, but I'm not. We love and appreciate the guidance that we get from those that are wiser than us, that save us from a life of folly or failure. We love and appreciate those doctors that, because of their knowledge and their studying and their effort and the medicines available to them, they save us from a life of pain or poor health. If this is true, then how much more should we love the one that is able to save us for eternity? To save our soul from hell. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Passed from death unto life. The psalmist says, he delivered my soul from death. You see, he believed that God the Father was one day going to send his Son to die for all mankind, to be the one sacrifice for all, the lamb that was slain. He believed that, and by believing in that, he was saved, and he was passed from death unto life. He declared it in Psalms. He saved my soul from death. Are you thankful today? Do you love God because he has delivered you? Has God delivered you? I'll tell you what, it's awful quiet for a large group of people that have been delivered, who have passed from death unto life. Do you love God this morning because he delivered you?
Amen.
God has delivered us. And that ought to be something that's in our heart, that we have an overflowing love for God because we have been delivered. You know, in our verse, he goes on, he didn't just deliver him from death. If God never did another thing for us, if he never again parted the windows of heaven and blessed us in any way, We would owe him a heart of love because he delivered our souls and we've been passed from death into life. But God does so much more for us. He does so much more for us. And the psalmist acknowledges that. He says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." And what's the second thing he says there? "Mine eyes from tears." Delivered mine eyes from tears, from the heartache of this world, from the pains that we would have to endure, from the tears that we would have to shed. He said, "He's delivered mine eyes from tears." You say, "Pastor Caleb, I've been saved a long time, and I still have tears." I know. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts. A lot of those we bring on ourselves. A lot of things that we have to endure, we bring on ourselves. And God has to help us out of it. You know, if I go spend myself into a great debt and get myself in terrible mess, I can't blame that on God. But you know, when I cry out to him, he'll hear me and he'll help me get out of it. A lot of the tears, a lot of the heartache that we endure in this life, we brought on ourselves. But not only that, we know that in this world, most people that go through this world are living in utter discouragement, in utter heartache. Most people that live in the world today live with next to no happiness. They endure from trial to trouble, to the point that they are killing themselves. It doesn't matter how much they have or what they can enjoy from day to day, they're not happy. I know that on their Facebook page they look happy. I know on the news broadcast they look like they're having lots of fun. But the evidence, the proof's in the pudding. What they're doing with their lives is evidence of the fact that they are miserable. They don't have the joy of the Lord in their heart. They don't have happiness. They're just living from one trial to the next, from one heartache to the next. They're enduring their life. But you and I, as we do go through a trial, or we do go through a test, we have a couple of things that help us through that. Number one, we have God the Father who's with us, who has sent a comforter to be with us, the Holy Spirit. And He's with us through the trial. He's with us through the test. He's comforting us. And here's what you have that the world does not have. You know that there's a reason for it. You know that God the Father is in control, and if something in your life has happened, if a tragedy has come, if a heartache has come, if a burden has come, you know it's for one of two reasons. It's either for your good or for God's glory, and both of those are good. Whatever the purpose is, and you can go through that heartache, you can go through that trial because you know it's for your good or for God's glory, and you can endure it and still have the joy of the Lord in your heart because you know that you're bringing glory to Him. And now, if not today, we know that one day when we get to heaven, we surely will have all our tears wiped away. Maybe today you've had to endure some tears, but in Revelation 21, verse number 4, the Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passing away." There's a old song. "There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it with me on the chorus. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. If you've had to endure some tears here on earth, we know the day will come when every tear is wiped away. All pain is gone. And I think the psalmist says, I love God because He delivered my soul from death. I love God because He delivered my eyes from tears. And lastly, this morning in our text, what's the last thing He says there? And He delivered my feet from falling. He delivered my feet from falling. You understand that if we were left to ourselves, we surely would make a mess of things. I mean, I'll tell you what, if we could just do it our way, if we could just do whatever we want, if we got to go our own direction, I mean, if God just let the reins go and we got to run wild, we would make a mess of things. But God knows the direction we're heading. God knows what we're going to do. And I'll tell you what, He tells us, He says, hey, there's you can't go there. That's going to destroy your life. Wait, no, you don't want to do that because that's going to cause you to fall. That's going to cause some heartache. That's going to cause some trouble. Don't do that. God saves our feet from falling. Not only has He promised to deliver us one day from the very presence of sin, He has in this life delivered us from the power of sin, that we no longer have to practice sin that we know is going to destroy our life. God has given us the ability to have victory over that sin that we know is harming our home. God has given us the power to have the victory over that sin that we know is destroying the direction that we want to go. God has given us the ability to have victory in our lives. We no longer are bound. Sin no longer has that power over us. We've been freed from that and can live a life bringing honor and glory to God and free from folly and free from failure because Jesus has delivered our feet from falling. You know, look down in verse number 12. I'll give you one thought as we close here in verse number 12. I opened the message this morning and I said, do you love God this morning? That is the question. Well, in verse number 12, the psalmist asked this. After he declares all these things, he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? He's saying, Lord, I love You. You've done this, and You've done this, and You've done this, and I acknowledge that, God. God, what should I do for You? Because of all that You've done for me. And as I ask this morning, do you love Jesus? Do you love God? And by your testimony, by your verbal yes, by your verbal amen, you're telling me, Pastor, we do love God. Well, I hope that as you consider how He heard your cry in your hour of need and how He delivered your soul from death and He's delivered your eyes from tears and He's delivered your feet from falling, I hope in your heart you would cry out like the psalmist and say, God, I love You. What can I do for You, Lord? What can I do for You? You've done so much for me. What can I do for You, God? I hope, not for Pastor Caleb, not for Hunt Valley Baptist Church, I hope your heart's cry is heavenward towards your Heavenly Father and saying, God, I love You. What can I do for You? to show you, to display that love. Would you stand with me if you would? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, there's a myriad of reasons why we could love God this morning. Certainly the list could be much longer than I've given you. You should have in your own heart and mind things that God has shown you. But with all that God has done for us, is your heart's cry, Lord, what can I do for you? Do you love the Lord? Dear God, I pray you'd be with every heart here, and may they yield to your prodding as you've stirred them this morning. May they do whatever you've directed. In Jesus' precious name, amen.